God is good. And all the time. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you on this, what's going to be, I'm sure, a hot Sunday, if it's anything like yesterday was, right? Yes. My computer said it was 89 degrees, feels like 107. So I assume the humidity must have been really high. I don't know why I think that. But anyway, it is great to see you guys. Thank you so much for being here. And if you're visiting with us today, we put out a special welcome to you. And we have some obvious visitors this morning, don't we? Yes, the Methodist campers are here. Thank you so much for being here, guys. Yeah, let's... Now, their chaplain, Tom Schaus, over here, we went to Greece together whenever we were ordained, and so it's good to see you again, sir. And I don't know if he's keeping them in line or if they're keeping him in line. I'm not sure which way that goes. But so anyway, glad you guys are here today. Thank you so much. you know, one thing before we start our announcements that I'd like to say is, as most of you know, because we had a church meeting about it and everything, we have been looking for an associate pastor. And I have to say, it has been an overwhelming task. And I haven't even really, there's been, the staff parish team has been directly involved with this. We've had over 30 applications for this, yes. And so it has been an amazing experience how people want to come here and be a part of this ministry and come here to Warsaw. One of the things that they're asked in the phone interview is, why do you want to come to Warsaw, Missouri? And all of them have very good reasons to want to come to this place. And a lot of them have to do with the ministries that are here and you all. So, but you know what is amazing about the internet? We have had applications from Korea. We have had applications from Kenya. We've had applications from all over the United States. It is pretty amazing what the internet in positive ways can do in this situation. So I just give God praise for the positive response to that, and I'm sure the staff parish is wishing sometimes it wasn't quite so positive. It would be easier for them. But a lot of strong candidates, and we give God praise for that. So anyway, if you turn with me to your announcements, don't forget next week is Lunch Bunch Sunday. That's a lot of fun. Lunch is only $6 for individual or $15 for family, so make sure that you put that on your calendar for next week. I'm sure, I don't know what we're having, but Circle D is cooking, so I am sure it's going to be amazing. And what? Grilled ham. Grilled pineapple. Green beans and homemade rolls. Now, you know, and baked potatoes. I have to test those rolls out before you serve them to everybody else. But anyway, a couple things here. A while back, we really put out a lot of announcements about our cookbook, but we've kind of laid low with it here lately. Don't forget our cookbooks. They are really, I think they're really classy looking. I have one over here somewhere, but I'm not going to dig for it. But it reminds me of the old Betty Crocker. It's a three-ring binder type affair, and Mom always loved that because she could put stuff in it when she found stuff, and that's what it's like, and it's really classy. And so don't forget to get that if you're interested in a United Methodist cookbook here from Warsaw UMC. Also, we are planning, make sure you write this down because these dates aren't on here, I don't believe. September 12th through the 16th. Please write that down in your bulletin and then transfer it to your calendar. 12th through the 16th of September, we are going to be celebrating our 160th anniversary with what we're calling the 160th homecoming. Event, homecoming, just homecoming, wasn't it? Homecoming. So it is going to be an exciting time, and a lot of pastors have already, several pastors have already said that we want to be there, and so we're excited about that. So make sure that you put that on your calendar as well. All these are very important announcements, so just because I don't lift them up doesn't mean they're not important. So please make sure you pay attention to that. On your third page, we have what's called a connection card. I invite you to fold it back and forth a couple times and then tear it out. Write your name and address, telephone number, connection information. And on this side, make sure you look at that and see if there's anything that you need to mark or share a concern or a joy with us for next week, that would be great. If you're visiting with us, we would so much appreciate you putting your name and your address on there so that we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for being here this week to worship with us. Are you ready for a great worship service today? It sounds like some of us are ready before I can get it out of my mouth. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we'll begin with our prelude, and then we'll move into the songs of praise. So, Gail?
We can all attest to the redempting power of Jesus Christ this morning. Let's all stand and sing Mighty to Save. The words are on the screen.
Forgiveness.
gather together to worship your holy name, Lord. We ask, Lord, you are the mighty one, and we ask for your powerful anointing to be upon our lives, God. Fill us full of your Holy Spirit as we come together to worship you. Help us totally focus our hearts and our minds and our spirits upon you, God. We give you praise today. And as you come into this place, God, in Jesus' name, we ask that all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place, Lord. We ask that you anoint us in such a way, Lord, that you make us one with you and one with each other, because we are your friend. In Jesus' name, Lord, we are your friend. Amen. Got to get your hands going on this one.
a message for the children this morning. Ginger will be presenting the message.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Sing with me.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? Jesus, how about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Hi, guys. How are you this morning? I've got some friends that I want to introduce you to this morning. There's some kids that I know, okay? The first kid is Really Rude Rudy. Now, Really Rude Rudy is very rude. He never says thank you. He never says you're welcome. He never says please. He's just very rude. The next girl I want to introduce you to is Scaredy Cat Katrina. Now, Scaredy Cat Katrina is scared. She's scared of everything. She's scared of storms. She's scared to go to school. She's scared to make friends. She's scared, scared, scared. Now, this next fella is Careless Cheating Chester. Now, Careless Cheating Chester cheats all the time. If he's at school and he's working on a paper and he doesn't know the answers, he looks at his neighbor's paper and he writes his neighbor's answer down instead of his own. When he's playing games, he wants to win, and he'll cheat and cheat just to win. His name is Careless Cheating Chester. This gal's name happens to be Boastful Bragging Bertha. Now, Boastful Bragging Bertha brags and boasts all the time. My dress is prettier than yours. I have a bigger house than you. My daddy's taller than your daddy. Everything. She just brags all the time. This next guy is Sorrowful Selfish Sylvester. Now, Sorrowful Selfish Sylvester is... And I practice even. He is very selfish. I mean, he won't share his toys. If he's got candy, whatever he's got, he doesn't share. And it's not just with his friends. He doesn't share with his brothers and his sisters, anybody. He's Sorrowful, Selfish Sylvester. Now, this next gal that I'm introducing you to is Happy Heart Henrietta. Henrietta has a happy heart. She's just happy most of the time. Now I'm going to tell you why she's happy. First of all, she's like all you guys. She has Jesus in her heart. But there's some other reasons too. Number one, she's not rude. Sometimes she forgets to say thank you or please, but as a rule, she really tries to be kind to people and to say thank you, because she knows that is what God wants her to be like. Oh, Scaredy Cat Katrina. You know what? Happy Heart sometimes gets a little bit afraid, but she knows two things. Number one, that she can trust in Jesus, and she can just go to him. And she knows that Jesus has given her mom and dad and friends that she can talk to and kind of work out her fears. And she knows that the Bible says God's not a God of fear, so we shouldn't be afraid. We should trust in him. Careless, cheating Chester. Nope, she just won't do it. She's made up her mind. She won't cheat. It's going to be her grade, and that's it. And if she loses a game, that's okay. She had fun. She has decided she's not going to cheat. Boastful, bragging Bertha. She doesn't brag about things. You know why? Happy Heart knows that everything she has came from God. And so if she's going to brag about anything, it's going to be about how great God is and how much she loves the Lord. Sorrowful, selfish Sylvester. No, she doesn't. She's not selfish. She shares her things. She wants to make people happy because God's made her so happy. And so she shares everything she has. Now, guys, is this the friend that you really want to be like, Happy Heart Henrietta? You betcha. That's exactly who we want to be like today. So that's what we're going to strive to be like, okay? So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here today and to worship you. Thank you for all the neat things you do for us, how kind you are and how good you are to us. And we just pray that we'll be like Happy Heart Henrietta, that we'll return that love and that kindness to everybody else around us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, now get a little treat here and get your cups, okay?
Okay, while the children are collecting money that will go to missions, we're going to be sitting and singing Victory in Jesus.
Of his
have it. We can have victory in Jesus and be happy. Happy like the little character in the story. Can't remember the name. Okay, we have some joys this morning. Something to be very joyful about. Brad and Deanna Spencer are the proud grandparents of a grandson, Benjamin Luke Spencer, born Wednesday, July 14th. He weighed 10 pounds, 1 ounce. He was 22 inches long. Ben's parents are Scott and Becca Spencer, and big brother Seth, and great-grandma Ray Dean Schroeder. Another joy is on July 19th, this Monday, is Rex and Henrietta Kahn's 68th wedding anniversary. I have a thank you here from Diane Goshenauer. Thanks to prayer warriors and all who've prayed for Auntie Lova in Nebraska. She entered heaven around 7 a.m. this morning. Also, please pray for Ken and Martha Bowden and their son George. He was injured in a rodeo accident last night. He's in the hospital in Springfield.
Idella, I have a couple that I forgot to tell you about.
Okay.
Number one, I understand, I'm sure there's other birthdays, but I understand today, or tomorrow actually, is Robert Riggs' birthday. Robert, you want to give a wave so everybody can see you? Yeah, I wish him a happy birthday. And, huh? He'll be driving soon. Now, is that a joy or a concern? Oh, I love you, Robert. Also, Jamie and I and several of our kids, our youth, are going to church camp this week. And what's that? And counselors, too. And I do know that we need more male counselors. So if you are interested in hanging out with adults that like to have fun with junior high kids, and if you like to have fun with junior high kids, rooms are air-conditioned, if that helps at all for this week. But anyway, we sure need a couple male counselors. We're having a hard time this year for some reason. But anyway, at least pray for that. But pray for us putting up with... they are a blessing for a week. But anyway, I think we have about 60, 55. Oh, wow. Hey, I did a little evangelical numbers there. I guess we're up 40 now, so...
Please remember in your prayers this week, many people listed on the back of your bulletin this morning. Please hang on to your bulletin this week and lift these people up in prayer. We've got also some people in assisted living, and always remember to pray for our servicemen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. You're holy and sovereign, and yet you're so full of goodness and grace. You're absolutely awesome and magnificent. We thank you that you're unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've loved us and blessed us and promised us a place with you in heaven. We thank you for Jesus who died for us, and we're so thankful that we can call on his name this morning. All powers in heaven and earth is given in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that he's at your right hand and that he pleads on our behalf when we pray. We ask that you would heal and comfort those who are hurting and sick in our congregation and in our communities. Give them hope and peace this day. Be with our servicemen abroad and bring them home safely. Give them strength and courage and comfort. Please give guidance to the leaders of this nation. Please continue to be our strength and our stay, and lay your hand of protection over us all. We thank you for the many mercies and blessings you grant us each day. Thank you for your holy word. Please grant us further wisdom and understanding from it. Help us to lay down our burdens and troubles this morning so we can give our full attention to the message you have for us. Help us to make your precepts a real and vital part of our lives. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. As many of you know, this past week was Vacation Bible School, and I just want to report a little bit on that. We had 52 kids enjoy the week with almost as many volunteers. We had 42 adult, or had 10 youth volunteers and 32 adult volunteers. And our service project for the week was to collect T-shirts, which would be turned into trousers, and pillowcases, which will be turned into dresses. We collected 75 T-shirts and 72 pillowcases. And later on, when the school year starts, the Spark kids will be cutting out the patterns for those, and then Circle A ladies will be sewing those up, and we'll send those to Uganda for children over there. And we also raised just over $200 to help with the expenses for that. But I want to say a really big thank you to the volunteers this week, because the last 2 days I came down with strep throat and I had to miss Thursday and Friday. And I was in tears Thursday morning. I was so upset not to be here. But I just want to say thank you so much for you guys stepping up and just, you know, I don't think anybody noticed I was gone. So I'm grateful for that. No, it's great. It was great that you guys kept things going, and I really, really appreciate it. And we have just a short little PowerPoint to kind of give you the highlights of the week.
Deanna, thanks for your great leadership, and yes. Yes, we do. Sorry, I have this. This is a habit. You know, I lost this, and so I want to keep it close to my heart. I won't tell you where I found it. I'd be embarrassed. But Vacation Bible School, you know, thanks to all you volunteers, as Deanna said, but also thanks to this whole church, because without your financial support, we couldn't change those kids' lives. And I tell you what, God was here this week, and those kids are not the same because of Vacation Bible School. And so thank you as well. We have a special. Pete and Sandy, you want to come on up?
The text of the song that we're going to sing in just a moment are based on words that are found in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And I want to read that verse. The words begin with verse 19, where it says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.'" This song that we're going to sing has been called the finest missionary hymn of the 20th century. And since we've been talking a lot about missions and doing a lot of missions, I hope that you'll find it appropriate for this worship service today. And I hope that it might inspire you to think about what the Lord would have you to do in the area of service to others.
Faith strong to triumph o'er hosts of hell, o'er darkness, death, and sin. My name to bear, and in that name to conquer. So send I you, my victory to win. So send I you, my strength to know in weakness, my joy in my perfect peace in pain, to prove my power, my grace, my promised presence. So send I you, eternal fruit to gain. So send I you, to bear my cross with patience, and then one day, with joy to lay it down. To hear my voice, well done, my faithful servant. Come share my throne, my kingdom, and my crown. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. So send I you.
Thank you guys very much. As we have said before, we're blessed with talented folk, aren't we? And I know each and every one of you are blessed by God in some way, and we're going to find that way, right? We all know what Ginger's blessing is, don't we? With Kids Corner, yeah. So, thank you all. That was very beautiful. Thank you. Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. Where in the world is Galatians? In the Old or the New Testament? New Testament, that's right. So turn to the back. I hope you brought your Bible. You know, I keep saying that, and I'm hoping that it'll spur you on to bring your Bible to worship. But if not, get the one out of the pew there and turn to the back of your Bible. If you know where Romans and the Corinthians are, then just turn one letter back and you have Galatians, right after 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10 is what we'll be reading. Now, I want to prepare you. Keep your Bibles out. Keep them handy. We're going to kind of refer back to this as we go through today's message. Once you find that, would you stand with me? Raise those Bibles high above your head this morning. Let's say our Bible pledge loud and proud. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, I left out a few words there. Please remain standing as we read Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and wanting to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat. If anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As I said, keep those Bibles handy, if you would. One of the most frequently used phrases in Christian churches is the gospel. The gospel. I'm sure all of you in several different ways have heard this concept of the gospel, and probably for each of you it springs forth a little bit different wording or meaning. It's really amazing, however, that few adults know what this term means. It could either refer to its literal translation, good news, or to the perspective that salvation is available only through the sacrificial death and subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ and a person's acceptance of Christ as their Savior. Now, you know, something that is so familiar in the Christian realm today, you might say, it's amazing to me, according to Barna Research Group, that less than 4 out of 10 adults, or 37%, know the gospel. Know what that means when you say the gospel. 34% had other inaccurate perceptions of the meaning of the term. 3 out of 10 adults did not even offer a guess. Even among born-again Christians, you know, the born-again Christians are the ones who have re-examined their faith and renewed their faith again in a public way. Even among born-again Christians, only 60% correctly identified at least one meaning of this expression. Now that is Christians and Christians who are really fired up about their Christian walk. Now, I want you to be thinking about this question today. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel of Christ. Now, I thought a good place to start this morning, since this is a letter from Paul, the Apostle Paul, to the churches in Galatia, I thought maybe it would be a good place to start to look at the churches in Galatia. These churches have become very vulnerable. Paul had founded the churches in Galatia during his missionary travels in Asia Minor. Now, Galatia, if you want to think about it, if you think about Turkey, and there's a strip going from south to north in Turkey, that is, in modern-day Turkey, that's where we think of as Galatia in biblical times. And the people that were a part of these churches were Gentile pagans. Now, when you're looking from a Jewish perspective, there are two types of people in the world. All right? Now, I don't think that's so much today, but in Jesus' day, there were Jews and there were Gentiles. That's right. So there were Jews and there were Gentiles. And so these folks in Galatia were Gentile pagans. That's just kind of re-saying the same thing, Gentile pagans. Well, Paul had preached to them the message of Jesus Christ crucified as the transformative way to deliver humankind from the present evil age, as you heard in Galatians 1. The people had accepted that message, and they'd had tremendous movings of the Holy Spirit in the life of that faith community. But at some point or another, missionaries came that began preaching a message that undermined Paul's apostolic work. They were Jewish Christian missionaries who were teaching that to really be saved, the Galatians would have to follow the law, which included circumcision. Now understand, these were Christian Jews, as was the Apostle Paul, and it makes you wonder, maybe that's why they received it so readily, because hey, the man that founded our churches, the Apostle Paul, was also a Jewish Christian. So maybe these guys really know what they're talking about. And they were arguing that these Gentiles, these non-Jews in this Galatian churches, had to take the next step into full covenant membership by following the laws of Moses. And these missionaries were telling the people that Paul had failed to instruct them correctly in God's law. Now, we have to understand something. These folks, these churches, didn't have the luxury that we have today in knowing someone's history. They couldn't get online and do a Google search on this person and find out what their past is. They couldn't find out what their education is. They couldn't find out the people that they knew. They couldn't pick up their cell phone or a phone in their homes and call someone on a reference form, right? Yeah. So they were really at a disadvantage because they trusted the people that came through and they trusted the people that were with the people that came through. Now, something you need to understand in this day and age, and to me it's the real miracle of the New Testament of the Bible, because each of these books are letters to churches. Now, you have to understand, they got a plethora of letters. I had to look that up before I came. No, seriously, they got evangelists, we would call them today, evangelists after evangelists after evangelists coming to their churches and preaching, saying that they had the gospel of Jesus Christ. They received letter after letter after letter saying that this was the truth, this was the gospel. And yet somehow, folks, in our Bibles, guess the letters, guess the apostle that was saved so that we could read about it today? Paul's letters. Now, so what does Paul do in this situation? You know, he came through, he started these churches, right? He taught them for, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, however long Paul, the Apostle Paul, stuck around before he moved on to the next community to start another community of Christ, right? So probably these leaders in these churches weren't that confident, were they? And when these well-educated appearing Jewish Christian missionaries came through, they thought, oh, we're going to get some more direction here, right? And so they trusted them, and in their lack of leadership, or at least spiritual leadership, they listened to these people. Well, do these churches really know that these are well-educated missionaries? No. They depend on their word and their friend's word. So what is the first thing, if we turn to Galatians 1, what is the first thing that Paul does in Galatians 1? If we look at 1:1, Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities. Now, if you're not sent by human commission or human authority, who sent you? God, yeah. Now think about this. Whenever he came and started these churches, you know good and well that he told them his conversion story. Right? So he's doing in this first sentence, he's saying, now, hey, wait, guys, I just want to remind you what's going on here. I was sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Remember on that road, folks? Remember that story I told you? That's a true story. And I wasn't sent by any human. That bright light appeared to me, and it was the Son of God, and it blinded me. Do you remember what I'm saying, folks? So that's what he's saying in this first sentence. But through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So he had to remind them, you know what? I'm not just some missionary that's walking through your town. I'm the man who started your congregations. And not only was I not sent by humans, I was sent by the Son of the living God. So he identifies himself. He reminds them of who he is. He's saying, to remember that time, that commission that I got from Jesus Christ himself that changed me from the Jew that I was to the Christian that I am now. So, now you may be thinking, well, Eric, we don't have issues with people walking through our church today and bringing a false word. And are you sure? Have you researched me? I mean, I'm actually kind of being serious. Has anyone taken the time to research me? I invite you to. Right? So you know, we have the luxury. Now, I know it doesn't work out sometimes with the relationship between pastor and church, but we have the luxury that there is at least an entity out there, in our case, the United Methodist Church, that, you know, sends these people to seminaries to get education, who goes through these tests, right, before they can be a pastor of a church. And so you know, we can think, Eric, we don't have these issues today. I don't know. Now, remember, I want you to be thinking about what is the gospel. What is the gospel, okay? So, you know, if it's true that we don't have this issue today, how do we explain the New Age spirituality that's out there? How do we explain that? And you know, maybe I'm just really vulnerable in this way, think the best of people, but it sure is easy to slip into. You know what? I want to lift up just a few concepts of New Age spirituality very quickly and to see if any of these ring a bell, because I want you to have your guard up against this, because I'm telling you, you are saturated with New Age spirituality. Okay, first fundamental belief, this is just a few of them, is in a universality of God. I can believe in a universal God. Can't you believe in a universal God? Yeah, see, they use the same language, don't they? But they change the definition on it. The universal God to us is not the same universal God to these New Age spirituality groups. In short, God is everything. God is in everything, on everything, and through everything. There is no distinction between humankind and nature. Matter, time, and space are unreal myths that must be eliminated. Instead of an omnipotent God, there is a cosmic force of the universe. Have you heard of that before? A cosmic force of the universe that exists in everything, whether it be a person, a pig, or a pickle. Well, what does the Bible say about this? Please write this down. I didn't give you a sermon notes today, and I apologize. Just write down these scriptures. You can look at them later. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Don't be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God." Why? Well, God is in heaven, and you are on earth. God isn't in the tree. God isn't in the river or in a corn stalk. God sits in heaven, and one day we will be there with him. Job 38 and 39 is another passage which shows God's omnipotence over humankind. If you remember in the chapters before this, Job is complaining about God isn't doing a good enough job. Now I want you to understand, if I was in Job's shoes, I probably would be complaining too. So I'm not implying that whatsoever. He had his family taken away. He has blisters and boils all over him. I'm going to be complaining too, I guarantee it, right? But he is complaining to God and telling God the kind of job he should do. And finally, God is fed up to where in chapters 38 and 39 of Job, God says, "Where were you when I created the foundations of the world?" Now that's a way to shut somebody up, isn't it? The Creator is not the created. John 12:44. We hear Jesus speaking of his Father when he said, "When a person believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. God is light for our darkened world. Christ came as a representative of God so that we would not have to live in darkness. God is the opposite of what the world has become. God is an independent entity who communicates. God is an independent deity who communicates plans, demonstrates emotion, and has the ability to choose separate from his creation. All is not God. Only God is God. You remember what he told Moses? I am that I am. Right? Second fundamental belief is there. Belief is in there is no difference between good and bad. Since God is everything, right? That was their first belief. So God is everything, then what is bad is God and what is good is God. And we slip into this in conversations because, you know, they say things like, well, who created the devil? Right? And boy, in the heat of the moment, you know, you may have all kinds of answers for that whenever you're studying your Bible in your bedroom. But when you're in the heat of the moment of that conversation and somebody says that, you're like, well, you know, yeah, God. Right? Whoever works, well, yeah, listen to this. Where this comes out. Whatever works for you is fine, and whatever works for me is fine. You believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. You know what? The Bible doesn't say that that's fine. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's glory is not sin, amen? Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Goes on to say that the righteousness of God shown through God's people will be the determining factor. 1 John 1:5 also says, this is the message we have heard from him and declared unto you. God is light. In him there is no darkness. The Bible teaches that there is right and there is wrong, and that God has set standards for us to follow. Third factor is in this belief that there is unity in the cosmos. Has anyone heard that phrase? Unity in the cosmos, right? If you hear that in a group that you're involved with, other than me preaching right now, run as fast as you can, all right? Run as fast as you can. It means that we're all connected by some consciousness. All reality, including God, humankind, the created universe, earth, time, space, and energy are all connected in divine consciousness. We lose our individuality and therefore any responsibility, because we belong to this collective. Anyone ever see Avatar? Yeah. We saw it in our house too. And you know, what's really sad is it's a pretty good movie. Message, it's kind of overdone, right? We've heard that for about 200 years now, haven't we? That message. we're the bad guy and somebody else is the good guy, right? But you know what really bothered me about that movie? They connected the ends of their hair into this, well, it was like a tree, and it connected them to their deity. And everything, this entire moon, was enveloped in this entity. All the plants carried it through their root system. Right? You know, it's this unity of the... It you can look at movies. Once this gets on your mind, folks, you sit down and watch a movie, and it will be there because Hollywood is thick with this new age. All right? And you know what's really aggravating about it for me, when I go to a movie, how about you? When I go to a movie, I like to kind of sit down and try to take all the barriers away and just enjoy myself, right? For once, I don't have to worry about what I'm saying and all that because it's all coming this direction, right? And then all of a sudden, this new age crap pops up in front of me. You know what? I'm sorry, but it really, we are saturated. And you know what? I like that movie, but guess what? My three boys and us had a talk after that movie, right? Because that's not the way it is according to my Bible. Is it that way according to your Bible? No. God is God, right? God is God. So, folks, be careful out there. Be careful what you listen to. And if you listen to something, you got to make sure that you kind of correct yourself. But you know what's really sad? It leaks in. It leaks in. It leaks in. It leaks in. And you may take tiny little steps, but guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to make it all the way across the room. You hear what I'm saying? It leaks in. Well, Jeremiah 1:5 says that we are individuals with individual responsibility. Before I formed you, God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you. God created us with different gifts and talents. 1 Corinthians 12 supports that. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, and on and on and on. We were created, folks, as individuals with Spirit-filled gifts that draw us together. And there will be a day when we will be called to answer for what we have done with our individual gifts. In Revelation 20, we read the words, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Clearly, the Bible says that we are individuals and we have independent responsibility. Okay, finally, the fourth fundamental truth of New Age spirituality is the belief in the finality of experience. What I experience is what I believe. If I experience it, then I believe it. Right? We've all heard that. It kind of goes along with what I said before. That's all right, bud. You believe what you have experienced, and I'm going to believe what I know is my experience, right? 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's you and me, right? We cannot trust our own experience. God works beyond our experiences. I have other scriptures, but our experience is but temporary. God is eternal. That's what we trust in that we can make reasonable decisions. So, folks, what is the gospel? You know what's really hard? You know, in this modern society, educated folks, we really want people to get along, don't we? We really want everybody to love everybody. Can't we, you know, I can hear, sometimes I think God's just saying, can't y'all just get along? Right? And I think that's true. And the Apostle Paul in other areas talks about how important it is for all of us to come together as one faith. But we have got to be careful in this world because we have equivalent of Jewish Christians walking around as New Age people. And they are saturating our lives with all kinds of stuff. And we have got to be smart enough to open up our ears to it and recognize it. When they talk about a universal God, it's not the same thing. Don't connect to that and say, hey, I believe God's universal. Because that's not, they're not talking the same language as you and me. You hear what I'm saying today? Please be careful. If you have children, please, or grandchildren, please be careful with that. So what is the gospel? Well, Paul spells it out in verses 3 and 4 of Galatians, and then he takes the rest of Galatians to meet it out. And he says this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. You see, the gospel that Paul is speaking of is not a human construction. It's from God. Amen? It's from God who has taken the initiative, and we call that grace. The grace of God is made effective in the self-giving of Jesus on the cross. And the self-giving of Jesus is in accordance with the will of God. And this God is known as God our Father, which, you know what, is really cool. That's not a sexist comment, by the way. That implies that we are God's children. We are God's children. Members of God's family. You see, God raised Jesus from the dead. We are not only set free from the present evil age, but we are also set free from the power of death. Isn't that awesome? And God's invasive grace stands in opposition to the political powers of this world. Folks, you know, you've heard me say it before. If you've taken the newcomers class, you've heard me say it. What would the church be like if every Christian believed and lived as if they were free? Think about that. I want you to think introspectively. What would you be like if you truly believed that Jesus died for you and you are free from this present evil age? Can you imagine the power that each of us and this church community and the church would have if us as Christians actually believed that we were free? Think about that. Think how empowering that would be. Take that home with you. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You hear what I'm saying? Folks, if you believe on Jesus Christ, if you believe that He died for you and that God overcame sin and death through Jesus Christ and raised Jesus from the dead, if you believe that, then guess what? You are free and it's your choice to live as if you're free. God's not going to be banging down your door saying, hey, let's take this weight off your shoulders now. Right? Sorry. He wants you to get rid of it, right? He wants you to live as if you're rid of it. Because guess what? You really are. For the next few weeks, we're going to step through Galatians and see how Paul can help us with ways that our world influences us and perverts this gospel of Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul talks about. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, for your Son. We thank you, Lord, that He was willing to give His life for little old me. He was willing to give His life for each of us individually. And you, God, raised Him from the dead. You, God, overcame sin and death. And I just ask God today, in Jesus' holy name, that you give us the courage to live as free people. I pray today in Jesus' name, God, that if there is anyone in this congregation who has not faithfully accepted Christ as the Lord and the leader of their life, that they would talk to me after this service. Dear God, this world is truly evil, and without you in our life, I don't see how anyone can do it. Anoint this church, God, in a powerfully, powerfully, powerful way so that we can move into your will and spread that freedom to everyone this church comes across. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you this week and the next few weeks to read the book of Galatians. Maybe take a chapter a day or a couple verses a day and read through that. But for now, let's turn to My Hope is Built. It's number 368. Let's sing the first, third, and fourth verses. Please stand.
Continue to worship this morning. The ushers will come forward and collect our tithes and our offering. And please remember to put your connection card that you filled out in the offering this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our closing song is the chorus of Friend of God.
Here, let's sing it out. Here we go. Thank you so much for coming today as we worship together. My prayer is that you felt God's presence and as we sung and prayed and were together today. So go from this place and be God's presence in other people's life. Bring that healing that only you can bring because of your relationship with God. And also this week, may you experience truly God's peace. May you truly experience God's freedom, maybe for the first time in your life. Go now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and experience God's wonderful grace. Amen.